Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
The State House is finally being called back into session after the 200 returning and new members took their oath of office on January 3rd. At that time, the Republicans held a 101-99 majority, something that the Democrats never recognized as they stalled for the February 7th special elections in the Pittsburgh area. That election has occurred, and the Democrats do now hold a 102-101 majority. We're going to take a look at what happened after the representatives took their oath of office on January 3rd, how the GOP elected a Democrat to be the Speaker of the House, the fiasco that followed, and how a few are speaking out against the whole mess. My guest today is new state rep Stephanie Scalaba of the 12th Legislative District, which encompasses parts of Butler County. Welcome to the program and congratulations on your win in November.
Thank you. Thank you, Diane, and thank you for having me this morning.
Yeah, January 3rd was probably one of the most exciting days of your life, but the truth of the deep state in Harrisburg soon became a reality. Tell us what happened after you took the oath of office on that day.
Sure. I will tell you that, starting your first term and coming from the outside, actually going in and seeing, unfortunately, how the sausage is made, took some of the glitz away from the swearing-in ceremony. Mm-hmm. So the way that things typically progress, and I'll just start off by saying, your introduction, you said that we had a majority. And I thought that was the case, too, until I was told that we don't, and we didn't. And I'll get to that in a minute here. But so my general assessment of how Harrisburg works and how it's viewed from the outside is that so much happens on the inside mm-hmm. that no one knows when you're outside of the dome. And yeah. So it was shocking to me. I think the real crux of the issue is that people thought, like you did, that we had a Republican majority. I thought we had a Republican majority, and then we actually, in fact, did not. So we had 101 Republicans to 99 Democrats. So as you said, there were three special elections held because after the general election in November, there were 102 Democrats, and Republicans were the minority. Mm-hmm. And we got a Democrat governor. And so in the House of Representatives, the Senate has a majority of Republicans. Mm-hmm. Then one representative was elected posthumously, Tony DeLuca out of Allegheny, I believe. And after his passing, he was elected, and then they had to hold a special election for him. So that took one away from the Democrats, 102. Then two more people from the Democrats ascended to higher office and resigned. So those were open seats. Mm-hmm. So the Democrats had, after November, 102, but three open seats, which took them down to 99. The Republicans were in the minority, but for that brief moment in time, looked like we could have had a majority, because, as I said, there were only 99 actual sitting voting Democrats,
right.
And there were 101 registered Republicans. But where I want to draw your focus is to the 101, quote, registered Republicans. The unfortunate truth is that, and I didn't know this until 45 seconds before that vote, is that, because we had caucus for hours that morning, mm-hmm. All right, so I'll get to that in a minute, but the unfortunate truth that I was informed of by leadership is that we had one and potentially two defectors. One, I know the name of, and it's Representative Tom Mahaffey from the 106th District, who had refused at all costs to put a Republican speaker in place. And there was another one, supposedly, who had made a similar deal and was not going to let a Republican become the Speaker of the House.
Yet they're registered Republicans, those two representatives.
Right,
okay.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So they are registered Republicans. And what that did was take us out of a perceived majority, what we thought could have been a temporary functioning majority if everyone could have voted for a Republican, mm-hmm. which I was willing and prepared and proud and eager to do. But unfortunately, those two took us out of the majority again. And that's how we ended up with Republican leadership nominating a Democrat, Speaker Rossi, who was supposed to become an independent. And the thought behind that was that by him registering himself as an independent, even at full complement after the Democrats won those three elections for the three open seats, they would not be in the majority and the Republicans would not be in the minority. It would be a true bipartisan House of Representatives with a truly independent speaker who would refuse to caucus with the Democrats or the Republicans, would hire an equal number of senior Republican and Democratic staff. He was going to cede control of the calendar to the Republicans. He was going to create truly bipartisan committees, and he was going to advance voter ID. And what I mean about the bipartisan committees, see, there's just so much that I think is lost when you simply look at the votes. Right.
Oh, yeah.
Who voted, the tally, both the tally of the votes for speaker, but also the tally of the Republicans in the House, because we do not have two Republicans who vote Republican. We have Republicans who are voting Democrat, and that's not for the speaker vote. I mean, they did for that, too. But I'm talking to have put a Republican speaker in was impossible. They made it absolutely impossible. And so it's upsetting whenever, you know, that there's so much that's not transparent, I guess, about Harrisburg. And coming from the outside, you know, I see that gap. It's like a barrier. And unfortunately, you know, the general public looks and says, you had 101 Republicans, you had a majority, you could have done X, Y, and Z. And the fact of the matter is, we couldn't. We did not have a functioning majority. We had the numbers on paper, but we did not have two people who were willing to vote the way that they are registered.
Yeah, that's an excellent point, because you can look at the voting, you know, the roll call vote, and we see how the votes go, but we don't know what's going on behind closed doors, or we don't even know what's going on the floor of the House, even though it may be live streamed or whatever. Who watches the live stream of proceedings? But you guys have spent like 4 hours, I believe, in caucus trying to pick a Republican House speaker, who I believe was... Metzger, I believe he's out of Somerset County. And that's who was going to be the Republican nominee. But every single one, I think it was all 101 Republicans had to stick together in order for that to happen. But when you have one or possibly two defects, one for sure, that just destroyed the entire plan. And hopefully his constituents know this. Mahaffey's constituents hopefully know this. And
I know they've been protesting outside of his office.
Okay, they must know it then. That's good.
Yeah.
Because things could have been done, like the constitutional amendments for voter ID and the one that would have reined in the regulatory powers of a governor. But I'll be truthful with you. I did not have, and definitely don't have at this point, you know, I was hoping for good results in the time frame that the Republicans would, again, on paper, have a majority. But too many times, weak Republicans are put in leadership positions and they don't have the courage to do it. It's actually a Republican who nominated Mark Rossi to be the Speaker of the House, and it was seconded by the second in command in leadership in the GOP. So
For the poor freshman, for the freshman, you know, I had assumed that by the time I was told by leadership, I was pulled aside in the aisle, I had assumed by the time. And that's the other thing you don't see from the live stream. You don't hear the conversations on
that's
the floor.
True. Yeah.
And so I'm pulled aside in the aisle. I assume as a lowly freshman that it's already been communicated to everybody else in the caucus, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is the new plan. We just left a 4-hour caucus meeting where it's follow leadership. We're all sticking together. Here's our nominee. This is our guy. They stand up. They nominate this other guy with a 3-page glowing recommendation. Our whip stands up. And, you know, the whip is responsible for telling you who to vote for, you know, keeping all the Republicans in line to advance the Republican agenda, right?
Yeah.
So then you stand up, and then, you know, this whole entire thing happened. It was said, here are the 6 conditions, you know, and here is what we're doing now. And I assume that that's the way the whole entire caucus is going. And by the time I look up and I see that that's very obviously been not been communicated to more than 16, you know, it's too late. They locked the board and you're done. I mean, your votes are done. And there are people who toggle votes too to try to throw off the other side. And they got stuck too, because that board was locked in record time.
Wow. And interesting that the word Democrat, when Mark Rossi's name was brought up, that word Democrat was never tacked on to Mark Rossi's name when you were told this is a new plan. Is my understanding.
That is correct.
Yeah. So you did not know. Yeah. As a freshman, you did not know that Mark Rossi was a Democrat.
Exactly. Yep. He's an independent. He's voted with us on 75% of the prior bills that have been passed. He's got a good FOAC rating, et cetera. That was the message. And that this is the way that we get voter ID. This is the way we keep an extremist from the Democrats out. You know, this is the way that we still have, despite being in the minority, this is the way we get out of the minority and have, instead of being run roughshod over with 5 members or 10 members, Republicans to 15 or 20 on committees where bills go to live or die, we get an equal say, a meaningful say. This is how for the next 2 years we can protect Republicans and actually have some meaningful say in promoting and advancing our ideals and also defending our values. So that is how it was offered. And that we had, I said, well, what about Carl? What about Representative Metzger? You know, that's our guy. And I'm told we don't have the vote. We have 2 people who've defected, like I said, one of which who is Tom Mahaffey. I don't have the name of the other one. And they're going to put in Joanna McClint.
From so Philadelphia. This is our only Democrat from Philadelphia.
Do you know, at the end of the thought was, this is a Hail Mary. If Rossi lives up to his word, fantastic. We defected ourselves for the next 2 years. If he doesn't, we're in no worse position than we are right now. And that's what is lost in translation to the outside.
Right.
Because they think you did lose something. You lost a 6 period to get your stuff through, right? But we did it because we had no option. Tom Mahaffey actually voted to adjourn. He's the only Republican who voted to adjourn before we even got to a speaker vote. And I mean, look back at the record, you'll see I didn't vote for that because I was ready and willing. I wanted a Republican speaker. And I did not want to.
McAfee was definitely turncoat throughout the entire process. And you guys actually, the 100 true Republicans, I'll put it like that, actually, I think it was the middle of January, you guys signed on to a sunshine letter, I believe it's called, that required the House clerk to call the House back into session. But again, McAfee refused to sign that one also.
So we needed 101. We needed 101. So we needed 101 to get a Republican speaker. We needed 101 to call us back with a quorum and force us back into session after Speaker Rossi closed the doors and adjourned us until the end of the month. And Mahaffey did not sign that letter. And without his signature, we were again unable to effectively act on that perceived majority of 101. And it's just a shame because the numbers then lie. You know, they say that we had a majority, and it's just unfortunate that we could not have an actual functioning majority like we should have.
Right, because you have one for sure, turncoat, and you guys came out of that caucus meeting with no one had expressed, my understanding is no one has had expressed any concerns or any negative feelings about Carl Metzger being the nominee for House Speaker, but yet once you left the caucus meeting, then it was revealed, obviously, that there was going to be one, possibly two, who would not vote for Metzger, totally destroying the whole plan. Do you know if leadership met with Mark Rossi prior to the nomination of, put forth? I mean, they had this list of conditions that he promised?
That's my understanding.
Okay.
That's my understanding.
Okay, that they had, because it makes... You know, it makes no sense that, I mean, there had to have been conversations with Mark Rossi that he would become he would re-register as independent.
Exactly.
And, you know, it was a great plan if Rossi had kept his end of the deal. And apparently, quite obviously, he did not. And now, my understanding also is that the House rules have not even been voted on. There's been nothing done in the House.
That's correct.
So
and that's the other point of why this guy was pulled as, you know, sort of the solution. If it would have worked out, because we had our rules, we were ready and prepared and set to push them through, and we could have made them to protect the rules, you know, requiring a 2/3 vote to change them for the next 2 years. So that was our plan. And then we go in there and it's all, you know, it's all shot.
Everything
because we
is...
have someone who refused. Exactly. And the Democrats have rules that don't even allow you to say certain words that they perceive to be discriminatory. Like mother, you got to say birthing person.
Are you serious? That's part of their rules.
That's what I'm told. I'm told there are 3 pages long of words you can't say, and so I haven't seen those, but that's what I'm told. And you know, that's what we were voting against. So for the those of us, and I won't even say 16 because you know, and I don't even want to say 15. Yeah. The 14 of us who were clued into this plan and you know, and voted for Rossi. So that's the 14 number is the 16 minus those 2 defectors. You know, 14 of us were trying to vote to stop extremism.
Yeah.
And it, you know, it, that doesn't get gleaned, I guess, just when you look at the numbers.
Well, no, you don't. It absolutely doesn't. It just, you know, I mean, those are names on a, you know, yes and no votes on a website or a piece of paper, whatever. It doesn't tell the backstory. And that's why I wanted to interview you to get the backstory as to what really happened. It's very disheartening that it happened the way it did, but it appears that the Democratic Party is following the lead of the Democrats in D.C. when it comes to, you know, these words are forbidden. And you have to say birthing person rather than mother and et cetera, you know, things like that. And so,
yeah.
So after
and
your...
I'll tell you too,
go ahead.
When Rossi was nominated by Republicans, you know, Democrats screamed traitor from the back of the room. And I mean, they were furious. They locked him out of his office and they beat him up, you know. And, you know, rumor had it that Malcolm Kenyatta had to be physically restrained from attacking him. I mean, they were not happy. And I don't know what transpired from that point in time where it looked like everything was going to work out to the way that it went. I have no idea what happened.
You mean Malcolm Kenyatta, the former lieutenant governor, I believe, lieutenant governor candidate, that guy?
He's a state representative.
Right, but he was a candidate for lieutenant governor, I believe.
He was a candidate.
This last round. My thought is...
I think he's also a senator.
Yeah. My thought is... Rossi you're just describing what happened just after his initial nomination to be Speaker of the House, nomination by a Republican. And then my understanding is Joanna McClintock, who is a Philadelphia, quote unquote, conservative. No, she's not conservative whatsoever, but a Philadelphia liberal, agreed with having Rossi as House Speaker. She spoke up and said she agreed with that. But then,
and you know what? I think that's just the way that they typically handle things, where they will never let Democrats are very politically savvy, and sometimes I think they're much better at it than Republicans are. Because they were not happy. I saw her face. I saw her very, very caught off guard and angry about it. And then she quickly regained her composure and said, "We support him." And I don't know what she knew at the time that we didn't know that ultimately brought him back, you know, to not changing his party and to kind of doing what they want. But I suspect that's why, because the initial reaction was anything but support or happiness.
Yeah. So we need to keep close eye on what's going on in Harrisburg for sure. If folks have any questions for you, is there any way that they can contact you?
Yeah. Yeah, certainly. So my website is RepShalaba, SCIALABBA.com.
Okay.
And there will be web submissions on there and contact information for my office.
Okay, fantastic. Because, looking from the outside in, things look like it, you know, went south, so to speak, with what happened in Harrisburg. But, again, it's a deep state being exposed, and we just need to, I don't know, we just need to keep a better eye on what's going on. But, again, so much happens behind closed doors.
You know what I would encourage? I would encourage people to, before they jump to conclusions and think, you know, that, for instance, I don't think any of the 14 of us, of the Republicans who voted for this guy, it's not like we went to Harrisburg, breathed too deeply, and it turned into liberals, you know.
Right.
And so before accusing, just pick up the phone or stop by the office of your local rep. Because I've tried to communicate this and these insights on countless platforms, and I'm still getting people who are left in the dark.
Yeah.
And I find that a shame, because they deserve to know what happened.
Right, right.
So I'm trying my hardest to get that message out there, because, you know, the numbers are not what they appear to be. We did not have a functioning majority.
Yeah.
If we did, we would have had Carl Metzger.
Yeah.
We would have
had
a Republican speaker.
It just goes to show, all it takes is one or two to destroy the whole plan.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, I want to thank you for taking time to be with us today. Appreciate it. Thanks for clarifying a lot of stuff. Yeah. Thanks for clarifying the whole picture. And
absolutely.
Yeah. We'll definitely get the word out there and appreciate it.
Yeah, you know, transparency is one of my biggest things going into this. As an attorney, I am shocked to see. I've always been extremely transparent with my clients, you know, and that's the job of a lawyer. You explain everything, right, to people who don't understand.
Right.
And so coming into this and seeing the lack of transparency is astounding. And I think it's a real affront to all of our rights and our collective knowledge as citizens. We need to know what's going on. But it's sort of a two-way conversation. So I really think that people need to talk to their state reps and ask them, and don't go in guns a-blazing saying you're a turncoat, you're this and that. Now, for two of them, that is true.
Yeah.
But for the rest of us, we were trying to do the right thing.
Right. Yeah. Literally. And following the lead of House leadership.
Right.
So, I mean, to me, that reflects poorly, you know, it was just a total fiasco. But Hey, it is whatever yep. it is, and we're going to have to work with it and just have to keep on top of what's going on in the House when it comes to some of these outrageous bills that I'm sure are going to be introduced, such as
I've already looked through a thousand outrageous bills.
Wow. Wow. Hey, well, I'm going to let you go, and you take care, and we'll be in touch. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. You take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.